and not those of Eagle FM and any
the
of its staff.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's the 8th of May, 2026, and we are progressing deep into the year at an understandable pace. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM Namibia, wherever you are, we are greeting you. And this is your morning platform that we look at the context of continental affairs, international affairs, and what is happening at home, especially when you look at issues of development. And understand that today, like any other day, especially the Friday, we will be able also to give you what is in the Villager newspaper, what is in the context of the Villager newspaper, particularly when it comes to economics, trade, and also what is happening at home. There is a lot of things that have been happening around at home, particularly regarding the affairs of governance, the affairs of security. But one thing that you need to put in mind is that in the world of artificial intelligence, in the world of advancement in theft of technology, you realize to say that there is a bit of a challenge, particularly when it comes to information, particularly critical information, security information, and also the public. And I think it's also very important, particularly to the institution that are responsible, especially for protecting the information of the state, to up their game, because the Generation Z with their smartphone, what used to be called, critical intelligence report, you'll be able to see them on social media, and you're asking yourself a question to say, how strong is our institution? If an ordinary person can access this information, what about somebody who is a foreigner with the intention of destroying our country? But whatever happening, let's make sure that we protect the highest office. We've seen what is happening, and you can already see that Namibia and South Africa, it's the only country in SADC. It's the only two countries in SADC where you have acting head of police. And it's really asking, and really a matter of asking a lot of questions to say what's really going on in South Africa and also Namibia. We're a bit better because in SA, everybody's acting there. Everybody's acting. Except the president and the senior ministers. But you look at the police. See, there's an acting police because the other one, the main one, the main police minister, is suspended. Then you have acting national commissioner in South Africa, acting deputy. And down there, maybe you can also have an acting driver. But it's also a matter of asking and also questioning our institution. Is it a transformation of institution? Is it the institution growing? Or there are things that we need to look at? However, there are quite a lot of things happening in the economy. But from the hour of 7 there, we'll be able to look at the long-term economic impact, especially with the skyrocketing price of fuel. And the question to say, are we able to catch up, particularly the downtrodden? Are we able to catch up, especially the poor, especially those who are seeking for opportunities, especially those who are at the edge of economic gain, particularly Namibia? And looking at the statement from the Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy, it's a statement which we can be able to see that the government is trying to do its best to protect the people. But you also realize to say, we still need agent intervention, because in the long run, there will be, a crisis due to the fact that when we are looking at where we are now, in terms of world ranking. We are not in where Katurimona, particularly in terms of economic inequality, because if you put a burden of fuel price, if you put a burden of transportation cost, if you put a burden of thousands of graduates in the market where we are competing with not only scarcity of opportunities, but you're also looking at external challenges, you really start to see that you really need the critical intervention. If not, there will be inevitable economic challenge and also crisis that will impact really our economic advancement, due to the fact that the gap between the few rich and majority poor continue to expand, and it's become dangerous for the progress of the country. And that is exactly the conversation that we are going to get into, especially from the hour of 7 there. Yeah, looking at international platform, looking at the international platform, particularly what is happening in the world, looking at the Strait of Hormuz, look at Iran, United States of America, understand that Iran continue to bomb, especially United Arab Emirates. But you'll be able to realize that when it comes to the response of United States of America, there's still a bit of restraint, particularly no interest or further, fighting. However, last night, be able to say that there was an engagement in terms of a few drones, especially between Iran and also USA. And you also be able to say that Iran is now a well-functioning defense system. But talks are still going on. Talks are still ongoing. And there is a bit of a hope too to say that neither of the parties really willing to continue long or prolonged war because of what it has cost them. But those are things that are happening, particularly when it comes to global affairs. Now looking at the other news, especially and it's a bit scary, especially when it comes to Hunter virus hit cruise ship that left Cape Verde. And you'll be able to see that one thing that we always speak about is that when you are faced particularly with domestic challenges that you have to solve with agency, do not really think that the world is going to wait for you. Don't think that the world is going to wait for you, because problems will still continue erupting, and you'll still be always reasoning with external affairs and say, no, I should have developed, but there was COVID-19, I should have developed, but there was war in Ukraine, I should have developed, but there was a war in Iran, I should have developed, but there was a Hunter virus. It stated that a cruise ship linked to a deadly virus outbreak that, have been reported in Cape Verde. And it had nearly 150 passengers on board. It has continued its journey to Spain, at an island called Canary. However, health institutions and also authorities have raised to contain the spread of disease, and it also indicated that the World Health Organization has also intervened, and three people dead. And people are really asking a question to say, looking at what has happened, especially looking at that Hunter virus, is it the same caliber of COVID-19? How is it going to be contained? And also, are there any other people too who have escaped or who were part of that cruise ship? because you know, things continue to erupt, particularly at the global platform, especially when it's coming to health. And also, this too, if not handled very well, could also impact the global trade logistics, and will continue again with pain. And the question should always be to say, when other countries are reacting to such situation, what will happen, especially between me and you, who are still struggling to get bread and butter? Because the discussion, when people are discussing about drones, when people are discussing about coming up with a better vaccine, our discussion in Africa, our discussion in Namibia, still to say what will happen, especially tomorrow, particularly when it comes to bread and butter. But those are the conversation. Let's go to a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll continue again with the conversation, particularly what is happening in the continent of Africa when it comes to economy, when it's coming to peace, and it's coming also to some of the unending crisis in Africa. And also really to say African countries' position, especially when it comes to what they want. It sounds good, but what they do, especially within their domestic arena, it's quite questionable. It's quite questionable, especially when you look at conflict, when you look at other aspects of human development.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshiwala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o speciala ngetashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's 30 minutes past the hour of 6. And we are looking at continental affairs. They stated that Somalia drought fallout worsened by aid cuts among ongoing conflict. To say Somalia is not only Sudan, which is the worst humanitarian crisis. To say Somalia in largely, you know, area of Puntland region, particularly the northern Somalia. For the past rainy season, you know, it did not fall in the past 3 years, particularly in the northern part of Somalia. And there is nothing to see but the dry water ponds, destroyed crops, and animal carcass. And it stated that it has continued to be you know, humanitarian crisis. And the problem also, which has been indicated, is that due to last year cutting of aid, particularly from United States of America, the situation in Somalia continued to be worsened, especially when it comes to food. And also when it comes to giving the human beings the nutrients that they need. The World Food Program Assistant Executive Director for Program Operation, Matthew Hollingworth, said there is malnutrition crisis across the country. We simply don't have resources to respond as we should do, he said. Now the question somebody also asked to say, especially developmental economists asked to say, the problem of drought, the problem of food insecurity in Africa, is it systemic, you know, initiated, or is it really because Africans are not able to produce their own food? Is it dependency that has caused us to be too much on external assistance? Were we really not able to produce our own food even beforehand? You can go back to how things have been. You may also want to go back to 100 years and ask a question to say, before colonialism, how were we surviving, particularly when coming to food production? When numbers of people start increasing, would it not be better if we have now advanced machines in terms of food production? Or is everything blamed on the US? Is everything blamed on climate change? Or is it really that we are not really serious, especially when it comes to expanding our food production capacity, or we are not investing where we are supposed to invest in? Because, you know, what has happened is that when it comes to, when you look at the numbers, especially economic indicators in Somalia, you'll be able to see that another challenge which is ended on top of you know, food insecurity, it's also the price of oil. To say you already have a problem, you already have a burden that you are dealing with, then the price of oil continue to increase. Then you may really ask a question to say, how are we going to get out of this crisis, particularly as Africans? Because common position here is needed, because everybody is struggling with almost the same thing. When you look at, when you listen to African leaders at the African Union Summit, And I like the way the African leaders start organizing themselves, particularly when they start speaking with one voice. At the beginning, I used to think, how come Africa is going and meet China? How come 54 African countries head of state, or 53 African country head of state, going to China for a conference, or going to Japan for a conference, or going to France for a conference? But I started realizing to say, the agenda of having a common position would be more understandable. However, there are also those with individual interests. But when you look at things, especially the common problems that African countries are facing, they're almost the same. Corruption, food insecurity, youth unemployment, high increment of debt, especially looking at debts per GDP. You'll be able to say that the problems are almost the same. Then the question should always be to say, how can we find a long-term solution, particularly to this crisis, because African countries, we thought that connected to international market was really a good idea, but we thought getting assistance was development. Then we realized that when the Western country wake up with a different leader who does not want to prioritize external relation, then we all go to bed hungry. Yeah, moving forward, this AFP report, especially looking at African problems, especially when it comes to, the oil market. AFP report that is indicating that African economies remain closely tied to oil market, OPEC and its allies. A recently announced increment of 188,000 barrels per day. But it is stated, the report indicated that the actual output still fall below the quotas, and the situation in African countries continue to worsen, especially looking at oil crisis. Looking at the case study of countries such as Cameroon, it is stated that when it comes to energy, in Pitau, there is a continuation of power outage. There is a continuation of power outage for weeks, especially looking at the energy aspect. Then you also have a case study of Burundi, where you see that due to increment of the price of oil, you also be able to see that the price of commodities has also went up, especially the price of coffee, cherry, and also other commodities, and many other case studies that indicating that what has happened is that the adjustment in terms of oil price in African countries, particularly that is caused by what have happened in the Middle East, has continued to impact the commodity price changes. And the question that we should also ask ourselves to say, what will happen now in the context of Namibia, especially with what have happened in terms of adjustment in fuel and transportation cost that will happen particularly after next week, in that context where the oil price increment has already started today, but the adjustment in terms of transportation costs will happen after next week. The question that you ask is that, what will happen to other commodities too? And how will an ordinary economic basket look like, particularly to an ordinary person? How much is somebody will be able to buy with 500 Namibian dollars, particularly as a measure of economic survival of an ordinary person? And you'll be able to see that what better intervention, especially long term. Because when I look, for example, at the money being put to protect ourselves, you really think, yes, it's a good thing. But it's the same thing that somebody use money to buy a defense system to protect from, incoming drones attacks. You see that, yes, it's good for a defense mode, but in terms of long term, is that really good for me? You can ask the same question to the US to say, spending that amount of money, who are you defending? Who are you defending? And when you are defending us from economic vulnerabilities, what can you do in terms of long term? Because that should be a real question, because the toughest head is that is where a crown, especially navigating the current crisis of unpredictability. You already hear about Hunt virus. You don't know how long it's going to take. And that should not be ruled out. You have to continue fighting. But what is, are we keeping up in that aspect? But we'll come to that later, particularly from the hour of 7 there. Looking on the other news, it's stated that the UN right chief has indicated that Tunisia must end repression of civil society and journalists. The United Nations human rights chief demanded on Thursday that Tunisia end widely repression targeting civil society organizations, journalists, and right defenders and opposition figures. The continued repression of, and restriction of civic space by Tunisia authority undermine the rights of people protected under the country's constitution. And what is happening there in the north of Africa, you really do not know. Especially looking at the north of Africa, I have never been quite, especially when it comes to political changes, when it's coming to political transformation, sudden political, unpredictable political changes. You look at the issues of Arab Springs. You look at Libya, Tunisia. Look at Egypt. But when you look at Algeria, you see Algeria is a bit, it's a bit quiet. But it seems like when you look at United Nations, particularly expression when it comes to opposition figures that are being repressed, journalists and civil society organizations. Because one thing that people do not understand is that when you have an uncompromised opposition figure, I think it's good for democracy. When you have a civic space where a discussion that is not held well at a political arena can be discussed at a civic space, then you have a strong institution. But I think there is also one thing that people do not really speak about very clearly, especially when it's coming to civil society organizations. You will be able to find that some civil society organizations are genuine. But you can also see that some civil society organizations, if you look at the history of NGOs, some NGOs were also used to destroy countries. That's why there's always this fear, especially when you look at African politics, to say, no, NGO must be handled very well, which is a skepticism that you can understand, to say some infiltrators, the destroyers of African developing economies, some of them, they have used civil society organizations. But you can also be able to say that there must be a line to say, how can the institutions of the state be held accountable where you have civil society organization existing in the space, which can also be held accountable, and you also have, a state, its operation, and also the media, then we can coexist. Because when you look at countries such as Burkina Faso, they realize to say, no, we are not going to accept that anymore. But to be able to understand that it also brings about challenges, particularly in Africa. Most of the Africans, which have, wealth of mineral resources, some of them, many of them were destroyed through those agencies that are not well handled very well. That's why there's always this fear. But you can also be able to understand that some politicians also, they also use that excuse also to make sure that they don't want to be questioned because of anything. But yeah, let's look at ShopRite and Mother's Day. And we come back shortly.
This Mother's Day, ShopRite is here to help you celebrate every mom in your life. With our low prices on thoughtful gifts and delicious treats, it's never been easier to make her feel truly special. Spoil mom with deals like 400 grams Happiness Fine Pralines chocolate assortment for only $89.99 and 400 mils Nivea Body Lotion or Cream, all variants for just $54.99 each. Or simply give the gift of choice with a ShopRite gift card, valid until 10 May 2026, only at ShopRite.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of
the staff. The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM.
Yeah, it's 48 minutes. It's 48 minutes past the hour of 6. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are here until the hour of 8. We look at economic affairs and everything that affect our bread and butter. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401-083-288-401. We know it's cold outside, but you can't keep on sleeping because, colleagues, we have a lot of works to do. Whether you are working or you are not working, you can't be sleeping this time because we have a lot of works to do. The economy needs to be handled. People must go to the front line because you understand that we have a lot of problems to face. It's not correct. It's not good for the country. When history is going to be written to say, Daddy, what have you done when the gap of economic inequality in Namibia was expanding? What have happened, mommy, when other kids were discussing about how to solve Namibian problems? Because, it's very cold, but when you wake up and think of what needs to be done, when you wake up and do one or two things, I think you'll be able to be a good citizen, because it's not correct. And it's not right that we only look at one institution to solve our problems, which is practically impossible, looking at the numbers. And we should not continue to ask the question to say, for example, are we still in line with what we have planned? For example, our NDP-6, are we still in line? Are we distracted or we are still in line? Are we still in line with expanding our soccer stadium? Are we still in line with building standard category 2 according to CAF stadium? Are we still in line with professionalizing all the sport codes? Are we still in line to make sure that 2026 Brave Warriors will be able to train at home? Are we stuck? Are we paralyzed? Or everything is under control? Those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. And also to say, when NDP-6, for example, which is quite a very brilliant plan, is put on the table, looking at the current circumstances, what other intervention can be done to make sure that we don't throw away the plan, but we adjust to the current reality of time, looking at what is happening. Those are some of the critical questions that we need to do to say when we had a very good plan. When somebody who graduated yesterday, for example, with an honors degree, when he or she entered university 4 years ago, that person has a dream and did not even thought about what Iran and the USA would do. Did not even think about the aspect of the time you graduate, you know, the price of transportation is almost 50% of what you used to pay when you completed high school. The price of oil is where it is now. The situation become more tighter. The economic inequality expanded. What can be done? Because then we cannot just wait and wait for 2030 and say, no, NDP6 did not, for example, did not go well because of the unforeseen circumstances, because of COVID. You know, we have these challenges. What can we do now so that we should not only be a country that use external reasoning? And it's quite really something that we should focus on, to say there's an aspect to say on Bedi Hai Mochiti, there must always be somebody to be blamed. But when you look, for example, I was looking for example at monetary policy statement, the recent one, you really see that sometimes there are things that we don't want to discuss, especially what we have done wrong. You can't just have a whole monetary policy, 80% is being about external impact on the economy, which is not right. There are things that we are not doing well, regardless of the situation. Even if there was a worse drought, there are still things that we are not doing right, that we need to work them on. Could be the young people, it could be the government, it can be the civil society too, it can be the financial sector, particularly the banks, that need to do much, especially in expanding that opportunity. Yeah, there is an interesting news that is happening coming from Zimbabwe there. It's a very interesting news to say Zimbabwe is retaining several foreign-owned farms that were seized 25 years ago, and compensating around $146 million. The transfer affects 67 properties linked to owners from Denmark, Germany, Netherlands, Switzerland, and former Yugoslavia. Both black owned 840 and white owned about 400 farms are being retained by the government. The rent reform began with forced takeover of white-owned farmland post-independence to address historic imbalance. Remember what happened in Zimbabwe. One may also want to understand just a short historical context to say why Zimbabwe is Zimbabwe that we know. Why for the past 20 years the name of Zimbabwe was associated with poverty, the struggle, migration, and also economic crisis. It was unfulfilled land promises that led to the war veteran, particularly those who were called the Chimurenga war veteran. Because after Zimbabwe got independence in 1979, there was a clear understanding between Britain and Zimbabwe to say, we are going to give you money, and this is going to be the transformation of, or it's going to be the land reform through willing buyer, willing seller. And this is how we are going to get the land back, particularly that was taken from you by the former colonizers, and also, from the indigenous people. But the system did not work out. It's the same thing that in Namibia, in South Africa too. Willing buyer, willing seller, willing buyer policy did not work out. That's why in the early 2000s, the veterans say, Mugabe, we went to exile, we went to take up the farms, but there is nothing that you can do, because it's you who did not fulfill the promise. And white people were killed, some were beaten up, and the land was taken. But there's also one thing that, apart from now what happened, then sanction came in. This is one thing that I'm also start to realizing. What I start to realize is that something is not right, especially with us, the black people. Something is not right because one of the indication is that these farms become unproductive. This one become unproductive because those who took over farms thought it would work on itself. This farm become unproductive. Then the government decided to say, no, comrades and friends, what you are doing here is not right. You took over the land, but the land become unproductive. It was better off when the white man was there, which is quite, you know, really something that we must work on, especially when we want opportunities to see. Do you want opportunity for the sake of opportunity, or can we utilize the opportunity that we want to get in? Because you see it even in Namibia. We may think, we may, and I think the land reform and the land redistribution process must really be fastened. But this is one thing that you want to understand. To say black or indigenous Namibians who got farms, what are they doing in those farms? Go and visit some of them. Then you realize to say it's just a retirement place. It's a commercial farm. It was supposed to be for business. And people get angry to say, why, okay, you own a farm, but what are you producing at your farm? Is it commercial? Or you just become a resident? Some they put on swimming pool, they go there for holiday just for taking pictures. But that is really, it's also a burden. Those who own farms, are they producing anything, particularly Namibians? We want the land back, but are we able to use the land? Zimbabwe said, no, we are bringing the land to you. And it's quite, I don't think Joshua Mapunga will be happy with this because he's a strong advocate for land. But you really say that some of this aspect, the land become unproductive. And people are just there. You can't go to the farm with a suit. You can't go to the farm with a suit. You can't go to the farm and you are not ready to get your hands dirty. That is unproductive and it's undermining the food production. But with that aspect, how are these things going to turn out? Especially looking at what is happening in Zimbabwe now, to say they are retaining the land back, particularly from those who, lost. Who lost their land. But that is what happened. Yeah, looking at Sandek, stated that the executive secretary, that is Elias Magosi, will lead Sandek delegation to upcoming Africa Forward, Africa-France partnership for innovation and growth, scheduled to take place on the 11th to the 12th of May 2026 in Nairobi, Kenya. And this high-level summit that is convened by Dr. William Ruto and also who is the host, and Emmanuel Macron also be present. We'll look at the aspect of private sector, civil society, developmental finance, institution, and like I've said before, France diplomacy. It's a bit persistent, and Macron does not want to leave Africa. And he's quite heavy his own agenda too, especially looking at the interests of France and also the African continent. Let's look at NHP and come back shortly.
Esira shisho, yo tari kukwathere opovoro kara uasira ya kweni o chisho. Watu chithana basic mental health first aid course. Haiga njua o shari chamhongi kwa mboka iri iyo, iyo NHP. Watapewa unongo nonseo na kene una okutongorora o madhidhiriko ugo petameko yena cha nupiakadhi nenge o mathidakano gopa madhiraviro kuchane omokatiko kumekoe nenge anironga kupanga pamwe nangoe osho otopewa unongo kene una okuya kwathena nokuya pa eabidido yiri monjira omanga upya kadiboka inauru darara kuyerere ounji na kene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na epango na maradura thano odobina okurandurwa NHP rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of the early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, it's 3 minutes past the hour of 7. We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today we are looking at the changing price of key drivers of development, because economists and also developmental enthusiasts cannot agree that the economy cannot grow without energy. The economy cannot grow without two things, energy and secured logistic. That's why if you study logistics, if you studied energy, you will continue work until the end of time, because those are the key drivers of the economy, to say logistics and energy. Then the most important thing is human capital. But when it comes to the aspect of where we are, to say, do we have logistics in Namibia? Yes, we have logistics. We have the best seaport. We have the best roads in the African continent. But do we own energy? No, we don't own that energy. Do we own what is operating within our logistics? We don't own that. Now, how can we survive, especially the challenges of continuation of increment in terms of the price of oil? And for how long is the government continue to bleed money, especially to protect us? And what lesson can we learn from here? Because one thing you need to understand is that there are various factors that are increasing, that are moving at a fast pace than they have been. But if you are not mitigating those, skyrocketing of prices, if you are not preparing the citizen to to deal with those skyrocketing of price. It will cause confusion, it will cause increment in terms of the gap between the poor and the rich, and it will cause a very long-term pain to the Namibian people, especially looking at the increment of the price of fuel. Now, let us look at shortly look at the statement, especially looking at the statement of the Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy, especially looking at updating the nation on oil price. But you may also want to understand that there are numbers placed on this aspect. Now, looking at these numbers, it stated that as of 30th of April 2026, the provisional under recovery recorded stood at 2.81 for ULP 95, 9.74 for diesel 500 ppm, 9.68 for diesel 10 ppm. But to summarize what have happened, particularly looking at the price, it is stated that the petrol price increased by 1.40 per liter, while both diesel variety rise by 4.63 per liter. And also looking at petrol 95 will now be 23.48 per liter, and diesel, just both diesel, will be almost $30, will be 28.36 per liter. One thing that you need to understand that throughout the record of economic history, once the price is adjusted, you need to adjust your life to that reality. Once the price of oil is adjusted, you need to adjust yourself to that reality, unless there is a greater intervention. Unless there is a greater intervention that will cause that oil price to go down, it will never come down. We will continue to look at the future, because the future of this will start from 28 Namibian dollars moving forward. The future of tax fare after next week, you have to adjust to that reality. Now, the question that you need to ask yourself, and maybe also something that you can appreciate. People can say you cannot praise the bird for frying, but you can also be able to understand that those who are driving the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy, and also those who are at Namibia economic scenario planning, understand that oil is a significant factor. Once you lose that war of energy, you will never win anything, because everything will go up, and it will spill over to almost all commodities. Now, how much money was used? Remember, looking at the month of March, particularly looking at what has been on the economic defense, there was 500 million defending the Namibian economy, put on Namibian economic defense mode, because the government what is called the National Energy Fund, particularly the fund that is dealing with energy and also assisting consumers from greater international impact, especially looking at oil price and also electricity price. Now, to look at this aspect, it's indicated that to minimize the burden of customers or consumers, the government, through the Energy Fund, Fuel Equalization Fund, administered by National Energy Fund, will absorb substantial portion of cumulative under-recoveries and associated with fuel import premium. To this end, government, through National Energy Fund for Equalization Fund will pay a total of 805 million to offset April, just for the month of April. 805 million. That is money to defend you, but remember there are still that money that is going through to say we can't pay for everything. That's why you have to pay that price. Had it not been that money put there, you maybe you'll be paying a taxi for $50 or maybe 100. Maybe 1 liter will be $100. But that was what is placed there. On top of that, additional amount of 490 million to offset May 2026. That is what has been stated. And the government will absorb around 1.3 billion, especially looking at what have happened in terms of adjustment of oil price. Now the question is that now, when this is done, what will happen to somebody who is working at your farm, for example? What will happen to somebody who is working at who is a domestic worker, who is just working as a domestic worker? What will happen to somebody who is just a security guard? And what will happen to a graduate who just graduated yesterday, looking at this aspect? How are they going to adjust themselves toward this? Is an increment in terms of international trade market changing faster than where we are supposed to be? And what can be done in the long term? Can we also look at the questions of the informal traders, for example? Because after everything have to deal with those who are at the edge of the Namibian economy. What will happen to them? Is there any intervention? What happened to businesses? Are there any intervention? Because during COVID-19, there used to be, what's the program? It's COVID relief programs, either within financial institutions, either also, even NAMRA also came up with that aspect to say, we're going to give you a relief at this period because of your situation. But what will happen at an ordinary person looking at that aspect? And what is this going to teach us? Especially where we have oil just nearby. There was a video I have seen on social media where so-called Gungura people or Gungura traders of oil, they were chased by a motorbike, Angolan police on a motorbike, but this guy managed to kick a police officer and fell down. You see, it's not about supporting any criminal behaviors, but what gives this person the resilience and the power to fight back regardless of a motorbike indicating to say stop, you must bring back those bottles of oil? What can we do? Can our leaders also protect us from this? To say that money could have been saved, could have been used in a different aspect. Had we done our homework very well, had we worked together, had we invested in Nigeria, in Angola, and...
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
of its staff. The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM. The eye.
We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And the question that we are asking ourselves, what are the interventions? So the question that we are asking our academic institutions, one analyst indicating that we are producing more graduates than the industry can absorb. That is one analyst which indicating, and to say we are focusing more on the outputs rather than also quality. It's not my analysis, it's one of the analysts. Can you also look at academic institutions? There is something that people do not speak about. There is always a fight between not a professor, a lecturer, and a student, particularly after graduation. Say, no, go in the industry and find opportunities. But a student is asking, but where can I get opportunities? What are some of the key skills that you have taught me over the past 4 years? Because when you listen to the speeches and you can get it very well, when you listen to the speeches at the opening ceremonies at universities, take a speech of any vice chancellor. Any vice chancellor at the beginning of any university session, that speech, and looking at the speech during graduation. But I've seen the difference with that in Amandi. And Amandi always indicating to say we must create job creators, but he also started to seeing that. But in most cases, to say go in the field and create opportunities. But when you look at in most cases, you'll be able to realize that academic leaders too, they are also finding it very difficult to say, if you ask any professor to say, how do you create employment for 800 people in Namibia, just one you need that proposal from an academic professor, 800 people just to assist the government. I don't think he'll be able to do that. If he does that, it's not going to be practical. It's going to be theoretical. Unless he did that already. Yeah, that's why to say in this aspect, when we say we are in an economic defense mode, where we are on a defense mode, where we are also looking at NDP-6 to say, are we able to look at our program, or we still need to put on this fight that we are fighting, the fight of increment in terms of oil prices. We also look at the fight of economic stagnation. We also look at the fights of debt crisis. Look at the fights of corruption and many other aspects. How are we going to move forward? Because we cannot, which is actually not possible, we cannot say the government can solve all these problems. We also look at academic institutions to say, from 2026, what new things are being done from academic institutions? Especially to make sure that the industries and what is being taught is really being practically applied. Because if we are still speaking about crisis of oil, and we are still importing toothpicks, we are still importing toilets, paper, we are still importing bottles and even water. Even still water, do you know that not all still water are made from Namibia? If you just look carefully, not all of them, then you understand that we really have a bigger problem. In the past 6 months, how many industries have we created? How many industries have we come up with? How many projects were completed? But we also need to look at the aspect of long-term to say, if we want to solve the issue of energy in terms of long-term, what can be done? Is it sustainable? Continue relying on the Middle East, which is very far. When Angola opened up for shares, is it the right move when Dangote is speaking with a loud voice? When people say, I like commending Museveni. Museveni is a great guy because I think experience taught him too. He has been in power for a very long time, but experience taught him too. He tells people that he's a worthy creator, which is actually true. And there are industries which create opportunities every day. Because if you create, for example, an industry of manufacturing of buses, you create, the marketing is there, the communication is there, the logistic is there, the engineering part is there. The sector of hospitality is there. Sales, trade, and all those aspects. Because it's a chain that is being created, especially on that aspect. Or we are still waiting from oil and green hydrogen. People get angry when there was a point I asked Mushoko to say, look, you guys, you said you are going to create 30,000 jobs, green job by 2030. But I said, no, it's not a silver bullet. But I ask a question to say, people, when people started seeing crisis, they want hope. Okay, now let's move. Is it oil going to give us real jobs in the next 5 years? And if it does not, what can we do to make sure that those who graduate will not feel the same pain that we have felt when we graduated with good hope? Can we advocate for building of our own industry? Can we advocate for sharing with neighbors? Because if not, we'll never move away. And looking at the presentation also from the Ministry of Industries, Mines and Energy, it's quite good, but when you look at page 4, for example, there is a table 1 that is looking at the regional fuel pump comparison. I don't know what it's trying to justify. Maybe to indicate that, I don't know what it's trying to justify, but maybe also to indicate that we are still doing very well. To say a comparative analysis, regional fuel pump price indicating that as of May 2026, Namibia still remains the most affordable among the common monetary area member state. Whatever this table, the intention of this table, we must understand that we are in a crisis. Whether we are number one in terms of affordability, we mustn't admit that we are in a crisis. It should not be a point of justification. It should not be saying, no, we are poor, but not that poor. But we are still there. But we can still eat one piece of, one slice of bread in a per day. Others are just eating a quarter of a piece of bread. Maybe somebody must make me understand to say, is the intention really to say we are doing very well or what? We are not doing very well. And, yes, we appreciate what is being done with economic defensive mode of subsidizing, but we are not doing very well. We must solve the problem, because if we are not solving that problem of energy, it will continue eating us, especially the young generation, in the next, decades to come, because that gap is still continue expanding. Good morning.
Hey, Shombe.
Yes, how are you?
Good, man.
How are things going?
It's fine.
I was reading your analysis this morning.
Yeah?
I was reading your analysis this morning. Yeah.
I know. You know, I just forget the one aspect in that analysis. You one aspect that we forget, is the financial master in the budget for the employer to employ. We forget that aspect. Remember that the government at the time was also freezed some of the vacancies. In fact, there are also vacancies there.
Yeah.
But they cannot be filled. It's simply because of finance.
Indeed.
Yeah, it's not always a matter. You know the issue of the skill gap. It's also an aspect. But the other aspect that we forget is the issue of finance and budget for the employer to employ. Because when you say skill, you know all the skill can be learned. Nobody was born with the skill. Because in most instances, because I have to think deep, because I have to reflect again also on those analysis.
They
are leading justice to the thing, but I later find out that there is one aspect that I forgot, man.
It's a skill, ne?
Yes, which is the issue of the budget. We always blame to say, there's no skills. The graduates have no skills. But they have the potential to be trained, because they spend more, almost 4 years most in the university. Like a grade 10 or grade 12 person. No.
Continue.
Yeah, we mentioned that aspect of a skill gap. It's very important that you need to know what the market needs and the skills that are needed in the market. We forget that unless you say, for instance, when you mentioned the issue of the green hydrogen, for instance, because you need to understand now what skills are needed in the green hydrogen market.
Yeah.
Where are these human capital now? What the universities are producing. The other time we were talking about the same as they have this department in UNAM, which is talking about, you know, training students about green hydrogen issues. The aspect that you need to understand. But myself, I have the hope to say, look, a graduate, even if they don't have potential, my friend, yes, experience, my dear, those are potential trainees.
Okay, just hold on, hold on 1 second.
When it comes to managing your investments, should you rely on one expert or a team of specialists? With a multi-managed portfolio from Alex Forbes, your funds are guided by carefully selected investment experts working together to pursue more consistent outcomes. We pair the right managers behind the scenes so you don't have to manage multiple relationships. Strengthen your investment destination. Visit alexforbes.com today.
Alex Forbes Namibia is registered and regulated by NAMFISA.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I said the issue of finance also, it's there. But we are not talking about it. You understand?
I hear you. You mentioned one thing which is which I think is very important to say. Can we start immediately after somebody graduated, because that person, the potential and the energy is still there. It's just trainable to be directed, because once you stay 2 years in the street, you know, things change, the reality change, and some people, they also start mistrusting you know, institutions. But maybe that aspect to say why they are fresh, what can we do with them?
Yeah. You know, the thing is, you know, the other aspect in it is the issue of the gap man in the institution that are responsible for data collection. You know, you have most National Planning Commission, you have Office of Prime Minister, you have Namibia Statistic Agency now.
Yeah.
But the thing is like this. So it's not, I always mention the issue to say, you know, when you collect data, data have three aspects of it most.
Yeah.
Those data must be accurate, right, and correct. Yeah. Data that you.
Yeah.
You can have data, but if you never collect them in a manner that will assist you to analyze the issue.
They are not cleaned.
Those are not data. They are just, you know, numbers that you put.
Yeah.
Take for instance, man.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, when they mentioned to say, the person mentioned to say, look, 100, you know, register new people were registered with the social security. That one, that figure cannot tell you exactly whether those are new employees or those that were non-compliant. That's the difference.
Just a figure.
It's just a figure, but it doesn't tell you that now these people are they, when they register, are they new employees? Or just the employer who did not comply?
It's a good question, because data is one thing. Interpreted information is also the other thing, because you will not really know just by putting data on or throwing data on the paper. You will not really know what's happening.
Yeah. Because it doesn't tell you. It doesn't tell you these things. Even those that graduated now. The current data that we have, it doesn't tell you how much we graduate in which field and how much are employed in this field.
No,
how many people that have been graduated without employment in this field.
It's a very good thing that you brought about, because if you ask one, because in other countries, for example, a person know exactly to say my faculty produced this amount of people, some of them are in this industry, some of them are in this industry. You see, some surveys are being done, but it's not really a consistent survey being done. If you do something online, not everybody can respond to say who. Yeah.
Because the university doesn't follow students after graduation.
Yeah, that is where the problem, and they chase us. They chase you. Yeah.
They don't follow you after graduation. No, they just let you go.
Yeah, they let you go.
Then you navigate. Because we are saying, even the system will not even tell you, Kucha, no, this person, even the those that are registering unemployed at the Minister of Labor, sometimes these people, they are not also looking to say, look, but in our database, there is this person with this qualification, but he's unemployed for how many 8 years? It doesn't even see the people who have been graduated for too long and they are unemployed.
No, it's a very good observation that you brought about, because people they don't look at those things, and you can only see that if you are a graduate, you can see that from that perspective to say there must be something which need to be done, especially those who came before. There must be a problem. It could be the connection of the industry. It could be also the maybe the system itself. It could also be that people are not communicating.
Yeah, people are not communicating. That's why I said that we have institutions where people there.
Yeah.
Why problems cannot be solved? Is police, my friend, point of view, boss, you have to deal with data. If you want to solve problems, then you have to go collect data. But remember, when you are collecting this data, you must be able to understand how you are going to interpret it. What answers that you need. Because, for instance, the current talent cannot even tell you, Kucha, no, this market is saturated.
Mm.
Therefore, we no longer need to take a student in this field because this field is saturated.
Figures
are there to say, just go to a figure about the employee that are being going on retirement, that dies, dismissed, go on medical board, you know, resignation are there.
You go to
the employer, the figures there. You go to pension fund, the figures there. You go to home affairs, you know, those who does, the figures are there. Those, when you go to medical, you know, Minister of Health, the children who were born and those that are died and those that are medical board, this information is there. But the problem with the Namibia Statistical Agency is to say how often they are collecting these figures and how often this institution are giving this information to them so that it can be adopted, or they're just waiting after 10 years.
I think that is where the problem is. Let's see what will happen this year, especially when it comes to numbers. You know, last year, people were very angry when the media presented to say there are about 15,000 unemployed teachers. Then to say, okay, if the number is not accurate, because that is a prediction, bring the number that is right.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
We should not lie to each other.
Yeah.
When, if you want to see that the figure of unemployment is it's an issue.
Yeah.
Just see when they are going for interview.
That is the thing.
Why only one post? Mm-hmm. You find almost 100 teachers going to for interview.
Even 800,
and that's where the element of corruption came in. Mm-hmm. Those guys are asking price just to favor a certain individual. That's how the system is. You see, because if we have to, because the system cannot even tell you to say, okay, if in this position, how many applicants are coming and are coming in for the position, and how many are they come for interview? Because next time you are going to see that in this field, now the number is reducing. My friend, this is not a rocket science. No. It's a simple mathematics of plus and minus. It's not, you see, it's an issue of planning. Because you know, man, if you already have unemployed teachers, but you continue producing teachers, what are you saying?
Where are they going?
You're sending them in the street.
Where are they going?
Then you cannot even try to absorb those that have been in the market for too long without employment. You are not taking them. And the problem is coming here is the reform that brings problem. Yeah? Because from policy, you have been told to say the market cannot correct itself. This market like of demand and supply will never correct itself. It's only the government that can correct it because it's the regulator. You understand?
Well, if you have to
correct the market through policy.
No, I hear you.
But when you go in through a policy or through reform and you create the same problem again, then you are sitting with a problem because the government is the ultimate protector for everybody through the constitution. No. Just imagine now if you go in to correct the market and cause a chaos in the market.
No,
on the issue of the teacher, it was good to say, look, why don't we have a police who have been trained but they are not employed, unemployed? How many soldiers we have who are not employed? Those that are unemployed, they were employed first, they either resigned or dismissed.
It's a very good question. It's not only with teacher, with everybody, to say why do we do that? Why can't we do it based on demand?
But that's why we are saying there are fields of study, there are fields, services, public services that like teachers and police and nurses. You are only telling them for that specific job. That's why in the past administration, teachers and defense and police and nurses, there was no unemployment. But you can remember that to say, when you are already placed before. But these people have to get to reform the College of Education that create a problem. They reform the nursing training center that create a problem.
But is the issue of commercialization of education a problem also?
The thing is, look, me, I'm from public school,
sort of.
And when we say government, it's a regulator,
yeah,
cannot be applied in the market.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Yeah.
Because this lie was pushed by the people who want to commercialize things. Mm-hmm. That's why I said that. You know, this private institution, we are not preventing anybody to, because there are two arms in a society when it comes to service delivery.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the public business, you have the private.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a private security company,
yeah,
ideally you were supposed to provide service to the private sector. Because now in government you have national service, you scandal, which produce security guard. Why? You say, why do you need private, you know, second guard?
If you have your own, yeah.
No, that's your problem. That's why you see, find that you still have a graduate from Namibian, you know, national youth service who are unemployed.
I think that aspect we will continue to expand on that and especially when it comes to the regulation and being a regulator, because I don't know if you read what Roman Greybeng wrote, the former lecturer at UNAM, is a professor of economics, is now I think in Australia. He wrote something to say, this is how banks block the development, and speak more on the regulator to say you can only fix this through regulations. And I think it's a very interesting article to look into, especially when we want to fix what is need to be fixed.
No, that's why I said that. In my public policy analysis class, that one was the fundamental issue. To say the market, let's talk about the market. He said, no, market cannot correct itself. That if you just left it to the demand and supply.
You need the referee.
No.
To become chaotic. Yeah.
It's a chaotic because you say it's a referee, but sometimes referee is also a player.
Yeah. You
see?
Yeah.
That is where the problem lies. To say, sometimes we reform, but just imagine before you reform the colleges and the nursing training center, there was no cost for accommodation. If it was it was reasonable. The parents never complained. There was no issue of looking for internship. It was already provided for. The issue of food, the issue of interview was never there. These were the all aspects that were part of. But when people reform, what do? They overlook all those things.
But this
is the condition. But we are saying a private institution, even if the UNAM themselves that belong to the state, they are not following after the student. But these private ones that are trained teachers and nurses, they are just after profit, you know, and also subsidy from the government through these loans that students are receiving. This is what they are chasing. But we are saying, at the end of the day, what are we? They now, you see them running the whole country up and down, going for interview. No, we are killing money.
I think. Okay. Yeah.
Is the issue of trying to understand. You know, we must avoid that defensive mode that we are, man.
I think we are getting here because, you know, sometimes problems will just teach us. We are learning the hard way to say, we spoke about this, we find ourselves in this problem. Then maybe it was discussed 5 times, but problems continue. If the problem can continue, we can ask the same. And I think, no, we need really to regulate, because we are even wasting more money and we are exhausting our people. And it's becoming here.
The other day, Shombe, we were just here talking about fuel. Better in more, they can hide it, but not for too long.
For 1 hour.
You're not going to bring. Otherwise, you are going to suffocate. And that's where the reality is coming in.
No, I hear you, but I think we are putting a lot of money. We are burning a lot of money there.
No, it doesn't mean that the government is not doing anything. We must understand. But we learned the hard way. I told you.
I hear you, and I think it's coming really at a very dangerous time, where we need to look at other things, because if you ask, for example, to say, what about the plans that we have? Are we really going to achieve them in this crisis, or this is going to be the reason for our other failure? Then from 2030, we are still going to look at other things.
Let me tell you, you know, the next generation, the burden that they are going to inherit from this government is to put things right. And it is going to be costly. And they will do, and there's no sufficient fund to do it. Ne? That's why you see government is cutting budget, is the issue of overtime, things of those things are cut. But when there was money for overtime, what did we use money for? Did we really put things right? Or we were just doing it, you know? Or this S&T thing. Or we are just doing it for the sake of, like, just to get extra. Because one element, let me tell you also, one element is to say, it's just the element most of the public servants that are competing with the public for public tender. You already have your monthly salary and benefits from the government. Yet you are also doing business, competing with the opportunity that the government, government is giving to the public. It has to stop. That thing of paying remuneration officers, what you need to do. No, it must stop. That's a day robbery. Maybe it can work after 50 years when the economy, everybody is saturated, when everybody is fine. Indeed. Let's handle this promotion. No.
Okay, thank you.
Finally, let me conclude. Finally.
Yeah.
When I said, let's go, move out of the defensive mode, my friend, we must go back to the Constitution. It's like we don't understand what does the Constitution as a president mean. When you take off Article 14, we talk about the family to be protected by the state, simply because it's a fundamental unit of the society. Meaning without the family, there's no society.
Indeed.
Then that Article 95 that promotes welfare of everybody, including the laborers, and also Article 21. These are fundamental.
And you cannot...
Constitution. But we don't understand it. But the Constitution, in terms of that Article 14, when they say family, they never discriminate.
I hear you.
They never say that the family of the minister or the president must be able to afford, you know...
Basic needs.
Basic needs, why the you know... The family unemployed person is not unable to feed. Because the Constitution says, it never tells you to say whether you are working or not working. The Constitution offers protection to everybody, but the mathematics is how.
You know, people do not even know that having a house is their right. You know, there's a lot of things that we need to look at. It's just being protected, having a proper house and shelter and going to a proper school and having better medical care. But we'll look at that on another day. Thank you.
That's why I was saying there are elements because the only way...
Time, I want to look at... Okay,
just 1 minute.
Yeah.
That's why the only way you can protect the family is just through employment opportunity.
Indeed.
You understand?
Indeed.
And you make sure that the salary that have been paid, they can also sustain the family. Because it's not all about... There will be no bottleneck for a person to set a family. There will be no bottleneck for the person to sustain and feed the family. That is what the Constitution tells you. But it's how. It's a matter of trying to understand the economy, try to grow economy, so that the employer are paying better salary, and also the people also find employment so that they can what? So that they can feed the family.
Indeed. Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop, 50 minutes past the hour of 7. And that is what is happening, to say let us protect the fundamental rights. And also to say if the family is protected, because imagine if this have happened, imagine up to now there are still families that there is nobody who is working within a standard threshold. There is nobody who is permanently working, for example, nobody working in government, nobody working in a private sector. Everybody is just surviving. And remember that when you look at the statistics where you see household held by young people, you really start to see that there is still a lot of things that we need to do. But when you fix the family matter, then that is going to work out. Imagine now a family headed by somebody who is 29 years old, can be a graduate, but is not employed, with other people going to school, and nobody reached retirement, or maybe there is only one grandmother, but this said sudden change in price of oil, the sudden change in price of transportation, it may look like just a $2 adjustment, but you start to seeing that it will impact the number of slices of bread that the person is going to eat, not literally in terms of slices of bread, but in terms of the factor of the bread basket of this individual. Let us look at the Villager newspaper for today. When you look at our e-paper, on top of the Villager newspaper for today, the Friday of the 8th of May, stated that China owns stakes in every operational uranium mine in Namibia and just acquired 42.7 in Bannerman, a Tango uranium mine. That is China and uranium in Namibia. To say it owns every operational uranium mine in Namibia. And also the question that we should ask is that how can we learn from China to say, Chief, when you are our good friend, we trade together, you assisted us. What is the progress in advancing Namibian private sector to operate successfully in the uranium mine? To say, what did Namibia learn from you in the past 30 years of that relationship, or 36 years of that relationship? Because being a giant uranium operator in the world is one thing, but being a mentor too is the other thing. And the Namibians, who are they? Are they just dealers, or they are real businesses that are assisting this country to get somewhere? You look at page 3, Vavisha University, Master's Degree of Public Health. Master's degree of public health application for June intake. July application now open. If you want a master's degree, public health, there is a hunter virus coming out there. Must put on our life save jacket. But if you want to fight this crisis, if you are from a medical field, if you are a nurse, if you are from social science, that is a master's for you. And make sure that, you look at that aspect and, apply. Postgraduate qualification, 230. That is the application fee. And you get your qualification. Look at Bellatrix, investment managers, launch Jamba Seed Fund in Windhoek yesterday. And to say the money is here. The money is here, colleagues, in Namibia. Especially if you are a small entrepreneurs, just talk to right people. Or you can just read the Villager newspaper. Then you'll be able to understand when speaking about the Jamba Seed Fund to provide capital to SADC from Namibia. What does that mean? Can we be part of those who are going to benefit from that fund? Now, interestingly, page 5 is that central government will borrow 29.2 billion in 2026-2027 financial year. to say for us to keep the budget operating, we need, or Namibia government will borrow 29.2 billion. That is 10.2% of the GDP to cover that budget. This shown by country's borrowing plan. And I think if I remember correctly, even last year or last financial year, the borrowing plan was almost 30 billion. And we are yet to see. We are yet to see what will happen, especially looking at that aspect. Interestingly, it is stated that the 29.2 billion funding requirement comprises of 15.78 billion budget deficit and additional financing requirement arising from debt obligation, that is 13.44 billion. And the domestic funding, the funding will be 20 billion, that is domestic, and also 9 billion from you know, external funding. But the question is that Namibia, we just completed, and I think you should not blame yourself if you're an individual and you are in debt, because it's not only you, the economy is not doing very well. And I'm not saying you should get in debt, I'm just indicating to you that even your own government is also trying to survive, because we just finished paying Eurobond. We are celebrating last year, so we paid this amount of money very well, and we recently paid IMF loan. Now I need to borrow another one. I need to borrow another. The question is from who? And also, if we really go back and take stock and note and say, what happened to other, you know, funds that we have borrowed? And is this borrowing sustainable? And also to say, is this borrowing going to assist us to reach our aim? Or is just going to be another aspect? Good morning.
Morning, David.
Morning, sir. How are you?
Maluka.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, what is happening?
Come again?
You are saying in South Africa, it's the same thing. Namibia, it's the same thing. Everywhere, people are just acting.
You are not following the rules. I don't know. I think there is something that we need to adjust with. Is it the security system? Is it a security cluster? Ne?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you can also say that, you know, that is something that needs to be protected first before everything.
Exactly.
And people don't know this, to say if the security is compromised, there is no corner of the sector of society which is safe.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why.
The same applies. Yeah. Then the criminal justice system is also.
That's why, I don't know exactly what happened, because there's a lot of information, but what I want, either it's in Namibia or South Africa, citizen number one must be protected first before we move forward.
Exactly.
Yeah, then we can look at other aspects. Whatever happened, I don't know, but the security.
There is a serious need for reforming and really look at it.
Yeah, because if we don't
look at the check and balance.
If we don't protect that, then there's nothing that we can do about the economy.
I'm telling you.
Because look, you know what's happening in South Africa now, that I'm not saying somebody's going to act, but the judgment for Parapara will be out soon. Then we'll see what will happen if the president of South Africa was found guilty or not, or they're going to comply with what the public protector has indicated, that he did not cross the line. But we are here to see, because it will be...
Yeah, but my observation is also that he has not crossed the line.
No, that is your observation, but we are not the court. We are here to see what the court is going to say.
Yeah, but you know, this is true, that we can also...
Yeah.
I understand those are say statements and opinion, but they can also be... might not be binding, but they are pointing to something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's see how things will go.
Yeah, but, you know, it's interesting time, but when are we going to get time to focus on real issues? Well, we are just, looking at, you know, things that are not, what we have planned for, because we are only managing crisis in Namibia. So far.
Yes, these are the eventualities. So that until you manage the crisis, so otherwise there's no way you can focus on the major other issues. So you clean up this first year before you get there. Otherwise, you're not able to climb the ladder.
Okay.
So are you coming in there from 6?
As always.
Oh, okay. Probably we'll be waiting for you there then.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, that will bring us to the end of our conversation. Make sure that you read the Villager newspaper, because it's rich in content. As always, look at the government borrowing plan. You also look at where we are standing economically. You look at sales, and also you look at academia to say, when you want to study, where are you going to study? What course are you going to study? Are you listening? What is happening around? And when it comes to, it's coming to industries, such as the Green Industry, Africa Green Industry Summit in Namibia, what have happened? And also, what are some of the key interests there? You may also look at industrial briefs, especially when you look at Namibia domestic debt. That is $154.4 billion as of April. You say, so it's a crisis. Then you also look at page 11. That is looking at Valvicia University, governance free education program, and many other aspects. So, I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the Big Mic. We transfer the mic to Ondangwa so that the Big Mic will be able to unpack the day from me, David Shombe. Bye bye for now. See you around, and sharp.